to those winter months, and I know a lot of people listening in the Northeast, especially in New York, in Maine, and so many of our other great affiliates up there, like 1590 WSMN, which really rocks. And you know all the snow that you get up there in New Hampshire and in Maine, by the way, and even in Jersey, where I'm from. It's crazy what we saw last winter. Who knows what this winter is going to be like? The first thing people start to think about is heating. Oh, heating, heating bills. What do I do? Heating escaping. What about a way to conserve? What should I do with my house? I mean, there's a zillion questions that surround that. Tony Joyce is in our virtual green room. It's not heated. He's from Joyce Heating right there in New Hampshire, and he joins us now. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how's it going today? It was 27 degrees here this morning, so winter is fast approaching.
27 degrees. So when you start to see the temperatures dip, too, does your phone ring off the hook a lot more?
yesterday, I think we fielded probably 200 phone calls.
Oh.
On a normal day, maybe 50 or 60. So everything we do preseason is, and we do the summer and winter, you know, hey, call, you know, check your system, you know, do whatever you have to do, but it's endless, you know, and nobody thinks about it. You know, who thinks about it on an August day, you know, turning their heat on? But, oh, yeah, no, the phones rang yesterday.
When you say check your system, it's because people turn it on and it's like, whoa, it's not working. Something's going on.
Well, you know, we're all these, you know, we talked briefly, you know, about New Englanders and how weird we are. You know, we're all so cheap up here that, you know, nobody wants to even turn it on for 10 seconds in September to see if it works. So they have to wait until it's 27 degrees and the house is 50, and then it dawns on them it's not working. You know, we're afraid to waste 8 cents worth of gas or oil just to try it.
Oh, that's hilarious. So what are some things that people can do? I mean, even around the country, because, you know, this is nationally syndicated. So there's people listening in your backyard, literally, but there's people listening all over the place. What are things that people can do? You just gave us one tip. You might turn it on before we get to that point. So that's a brilliant thing to do. But what else can people do to be more aware instead of waiting?
You know what's funny about the rest of the world in New England? Everybody needs heat. We just need it up here and, you know, in the Northeast and the Northwest a little sooner.
Yeah.
But the simple things are, A, check it out. Try it before you do it. B, if you have hot air, which most of the country has, except up here in New England, we have things called boilers. Check the filter or change the filter. Even if it doesn't look dirty, change the filter. Get in a program where you do it, say, quarterly or twice a year, and make sure that's clean. If you've got heat pumps, which a lot of people in the country have, make sure that there's no leaves on it. Make sure that that's clear. Just basically the mechanical stuff. And for all my competitors / allies out there, have it checked at least once a year, once every other year by a qualified contractor. We're not all crooks like they show us on TV. Some of us are honest, and we can see the things that are going to break before they break. And that's kind of the key, is it's just awareness. You know, we spend all this money on our cars, and we spend all this money checking these other things out, and the heating systems just sit there in the basement or in the attic or in the closet, just being ignored, you know?
Like everything else, it's a question of forcing yourself, and it doesn't have to be painful, to pay attention to what's happening instead of waiting until the last second. So last year when you had so much snow, I can only imagine it had to have been crazy for you. Were you running around all over the place and operating on Red Bull and coffee?
You know, it was funny because it was so bad up here that we couldn't run around because we couldn't get from point A to point B.
Oh.
You know, I was born and brought up, you know, as a matter of fact, my office is 100 yards from where I grew up. And everybody that grew up anywhere there was snow, they said, oh, I remember more snow as a kid because you were 2 feet tall and the snow piles were 6 feet. Everything's relative. Well, I never remember this much snow. I mean, we had snow piles so high that you just come up to an intersection, you'd inch your nose out because you couldn't see around it. And you just hopefully the guy coming the other way saw what you were doing. I mean, we had just roofs caving in and snow up to windows and bulkheads. I mean, people's backyards that you couldn't even get to, and somebody's furnace would be bad, and I drove around with a snowblower in the back of my truck most of the winter just trying to snowblow so we could get people heat. It changed everything. I mean, the way we look at stuff, we had that much snow. I mean, look at Buffalo. What, they get 8 feet of snow in October or something?
Yeah, crazy. You know? Absolutely. That's great that you went around with a snowblower. How do you, as a businessman, how do you know, and I guess it's the same thing, you look yearly what happens, but more people come into certain communities. How do you decide what you need for your supplies?
Well, we're fortunate that we have a pretty good sized warehouse and we have some good suppliers. And am I allowed to mention brands? You know, on
the radio?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
like we use a lot of Lennox, which is a good product. We use called the Mitsubishi, one of those ductless the units that mount on the wall. You know, that we're using a lot of those up here. The Rinnai water heater. So we stock quite a bit of the products that we need, and you know, they are readily available. You know, I've had Joyce Cooling for 20 years. I've been in the business for 42. So you just basically start to know just instinctively what you're going to need and where you're going to need it and how you're going to need it. And you know, back a few years ago, you know, the economy was pretty lousy up here, so there was plenty of help. Now it's starting to catch up, so we're having some trouble finding people. So we just do the best we can, but it's just instinctive. You know, even doing something that long, you just, you know, I don't want to sound like you just know what you need. It's the same every year. You know, it all happens within a week or two of each other. You know, we look back on records and sales and what we've done, and it all follows. It's funny.
You know, we do a thing, and you're part of this called It's Your Business. So for 42 years, you've been in the business, but then you've had your own business for 20. What was it like when you made the leap to your own business?
You know, it was almost a burnout thing. I was just sick and tired of running around. And, you know, I was fairly successful. And I said to my wife, I said, that's it. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to work all by myself, out of the house. And you know, we're never going to be rich. We're never going to get anything. And that worked for about 5 years. And then eventually the company grew. And we've got 20 people now and still not rich. But, you know, it just grew. I have a business background, so it wasn't as bad for me as it is for a lot of contractors, and I feel bad for contractors who are just artists. I mean, they're just masters at their trade, and they have such, you know, just running their businesses is the hard part for them.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with that. And there's so many good contractors out there, but the business side of it can be really tough because they're not schooled in that, and it's like the school of hard knocks. Don't you think you kind of have to feel your way around it?
Oh, you do, and you know, and I was lucky that, and if I can give another plug for, there was something called SCORE, which was the Retired Executive Society, and it's put on by the Small Business Administration, and that was a big help. And the thing about it is, you got to know how to run a business to be in a business, and these people from SCORE, they made me do business planning, and you know, profit and loss, you know, projections, and just get an idea of you know, you can't just have, you know, and I used to laugh at the, you know, accounts payable. Account is in the left pocket and accounts receivables in the right pocket, and you know, at the end of the day, whatever's left over is yours. And you know, and that's how people ran businesses, you know, a long time ago. It doesn't work that way anymore, you know. But
yeah,
no,
I love that cash business. That's hilarious. But it goes in one pocket, and then that's the rest. I got to pay the bills out of that.
You know, and I mean, you could get away with it years ago. Now it's, you know, and you know, you, between, you know, making sure that you're meeting the government and their licensing, and I mean, it's hard to run a business. And I feel bad for some. Like I said, there are some friends of mine that are just wonderful contractors. I mean, they're just masters at the trades, and they have a hard time running businesses. And you know, they've got enough of an ego. They don't want to work for somebody else, but yet, you know, that's probably what the best thing they could do would be to work for somebody else, and everybody would succeed. But the, you know, like I said, we were talking on the phone, you know, last time I talked to you, you know, about New England, you know, we're just weird up here versus the rest of the country. We're just weird.
Yeah, the amount of snow, I think that does that to you, because you get cabin fever like none other. I mean, how many sporting events can you watch, and how much Netflix can you watch? And then you're like, oh, I got to go outside. I got to go somewhere.
Well, it was, you know, it's weird because it got cool here the other day, you know, when everybody's bundled up and complaining about it. And I'm saying, you know, but if this was a, you know, a 40 degree day in March, you know, we'd be out in shirt sleeves chopping the ice off our driveways saying, oh my God, isn't this the greatest weather we've ever had, you know? And so everything's relative, you know. In September, a 40 degree day is lousy. And in March, a 40 degree day is like, you know, I mean, I remember last year at one point, it was so cold for so long that it got up to 19 degrees one day, and we were walking around in shirt sleeves because it had warmed up to 19. You know, it was a warm spell because it hadn't gotten above 5 degrees for like 10 straight days.
Oh, yeah. Craziness, nuttiness. Yeah. All right, I love this conversation. This is great. Tony, you're a character. Tony Joyce, Joyce Heating there in Nashua. You're in Nashua, right? You're in New Hampshire.
Yeah, we're in Nashua, New Hampshire. For those who listen to WSMN, you know, we both know George, who's a great guy. You know, the phone up here is 603-882-4000. 4244, or we're on the web at joycecool.com. Get my little plug in for the WSMN listeners, but it's an interesting place up here.
I think it's an interesting place too. We'll have to say hey when we come up there. We're going to be up there, I think, with this whole election season. So I'll look for you up there.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.